0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we crank up the build-up to Scottish Cup semi-final weekend. Martin O'Neill thinks most of the pressure is on Rangers as he tips Kyogo as being on the right track to emulate Henrik Larsson. Alex McLeish says his former side must go in full of belief despite being underdogs. And Billy Dodds is calling on his Inverness players to rise to the occasion for that place in the final. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yep, it's a huge weekend ahead and it's almost upon us. You hear from old managers, old players telling you their tales of when they were involved in games like this. All eyes are obviously pointed to Rangers v Celtic on the Sunday, but how big an occasion is it before that for Falkirk v Inverness? An opportunity for one of those to get to a Scottish Cup final and make history. And then added to that, we have the Championship, which is red hot at the top. Great weekend of football in store.
Yeah, a great introduction there from Mark. Very hard to follow, but I echo every word he says. I'm really looking forward to a fantastic weekend.
What are you laughing at? It's the nicest thing you've ever said.
I'm looking forward to a fantastic, exciting weekend of football. And Mark's quite right to touch on an exciting Championship as well, Gordon.
It will be a long show though if you just say, yeah, what he said. We're going to need to do better than that between now.
That's the road I'm going down
8
tonight.
8 o'clock, 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need, so get in touch. Thursday night, in case you hadn't checked. So we're very, very much on the track towards Scottish Cup semi-final weekend. Falkirk fans, Inverness fans, I've been asking you all week, come on, step up to the plate. Don't let the big two overshadow you. Get in touch and let us know how you're feeling. And of course, I think with a couple of days to go, we're very much on the home straight for the build-up to the big one on Sunday. So we're talking team selection. Who should play? Who shouldn't play? How your team should go about it? Who's the favourite? Who's the pressure on? All this sort of stuff that comes with a fixture like this. Now is the time to start sharing it. 0141 951 1025. In terms of actual news stories today, if you like, as Mark says, it's old managers being wheeled out to discuss the fixture. Alex McLeish talking about the belief for Rangers. Rangers fans, where do you get the belief from? Celtic fans, Martin O'Neill, Kyogo's on the right track to emulate Henrik Larsson, but a lot of work to be done yet. So any comments specifically on them? I'm trying to think what else is out there. I saw a bit of a debate, if you like, from you Rangers fans on Twitter today at the shortlist for your own internal Player of the Year awards is out, and it's caused a bit of debate. I know lots of you are disappointed with the season you've had and therefore not so happy with the shortlist for your Player of the Year. So what do you think? Who has been your standout player this year? If you have to pick one, who's it going to be? Because I have seen that doing the rounds on Twitter today. So 0141 951 1025. Before we go any further, it's Clyde's One Cash for Kids Day. And in case you couldn't tell, you two have got the Domino's pizza smeared all over your face that's been delivered into the office to mark, mark the occasion.
And the cookies.
I thought you'd have wiped it off before you came in.
Someone else went into the cookies. Big
incredible
time. Big time.
But it is Clyde One Cash for Kids Day. So thank you so much to everyone who's supported so far. The only thing to add for you here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we've been teaming up with our friends at Top Golf in Rutherglen. We are big fans. We've been a couple of times. Very good. What they're doing across this weekend, right, is, and by the way, how good's the food? You notice that when you go? Because the golf's good fun, but food's top drawer, isn't it? So every chicken burger they sell from today right through to Sunday, £1 goes towards Cash for Kids. So that's their contribution to Cash for Kids Day, which is much appreciated and somewhat of an extra. I don't know if this is meant to incentivise people phoning in or not, right? This could go the opposite way. The phone lines could be blank between now and 8 o'clock. Everybody who calls in tonight and gets through to make a point, it goes into the hat, and your prize, right? Don't all shout out at once. Your prize is for you and two of your mates to come down for a night at Top Golf with us three, apparently. You never agreed to this.
What a prize.
But you're stuck with it.
That'd put me off call.
But you chuck in,
what to play with you.
Gonna chuck in food and drink as well.
Imagine that.
Well, that's good.
And if you'd rather come with three mates and oust one of us, then you can do that as well.
I know who's getting ousted.
Me, I think, quite clearly. But there you are. So every caller who comes on air tonight and gets through to make a point into the hat, and you and a couple of your mates can come down with us three for a night at Top Golf, and we'll chuck in some food as well.
That's great.
So you say, good for us.
Or can the substitute substitute us for another for show's presenter or something like that. George and Cassie.
Oh, I think we'll
Gary and
popular.
Stephen on. I'm not sure.
I think we'll be really we'll popular. What, you's too good at golf, me a bit of character about me?
No, I think it's the opposite. I think Mark and I will provide the company and you'll
just be concentrating the golf, won't you?
Anyway, right, that's for later. 01419511025 or Twitter at ClydeSSB. So come on, what are you thinking? Specifically this weekend, get all your thoughts in ahead of the big one, or the big two, I should say. And anything else that you've got for us, please do pick up that phone right now. Let's hear from Martin and Neil and Alex McLeish, two men who know the fixture very, very well indeed, and that is an understatement. So let's go Martin and Neil first. He thinks the pressure is all on Michael Beale and Rangers this weekend, despite the fact that Ange Postecoglou is chasing down his first treble.
Of course he'll want to win the treble. Of course he'll want to do that there. And last year he won two of them, so I'm sure he does. But if you're talking about pressure, if Rangers end up winless this season, then that's pressure again, because that's what these clubs are based on. You have to win the trophies. So from that viewpoint, I would imagine Rangers would probably be under more pressure. And I'm trying to say that there with a very neutral head on, you know. Celtic are the benchmark, and the Rangers have to get there. And they'll have to get there sooner rather than later. In fairness to the manager who's come in, they've up until not so long ago, in terms of league results, they were matching Celtic, but they weren't gaining any ground. And therefore, that meant that the game that you played against Celtic was massive. You had to win that game, you know, to close the gap. That hasn't happened at this minute. Celtic very much so are the benchmark, and Rangers have got to do something about it, and relatively quickly.
We often do all sorts of gymnastics when it comes to this fixture to try and spin who's actually on under the most pressure, and then people always say this is a game between Rangers and Celtic, Celtic and Rangers, they're both under pressure. But I mean, is it fairly obvious? Would even the Rangers fans concede this has got that real sort of season defining feel about it for them because of what's gone before?
Massive, absolutely massive. I think it's massive for a manager as well. Now, I'm not here thinking that if Celtic had to beat Rangers at the weekend that Michael Beale will lose his job or anything, because I think that he's still obviously the game at Ibrox. Even if he do lose that, I still don't think he'll lose his job. But I think he'll come in for a lot of criticism.
This is the thing, but we always associate pressure with losing your job. That's not what we mean. There's a full range of pressure in between.
I think it'll be criticism, Gordon. I think there'll be a lot of criticism thrown at Michael Beale from the Rangers fans. That's if he does lose at the weekend. But I think you've got to be fair to him. He's just in the building. I think he's got to get to the summer, and then he needs to kick on from there. I still think, as a player, and Mark will tell you, as a player, there's still a little bit of pressure, because you know, and we're not being disrespectful to the other semi-finalists, you know that if you win that game, there's a fair chance you're going to pick up a treble. So it's a very important one. And also, you know that it's against Rangers and a full Hampden.
Yeah, well, I have to agree. Everything that Daz says here, I agree.
Bad start, yes.
I agree.
I need you two to start falling out if you can.
I echo. But you have to think the wave of criticism. If either manager loses, what's going to be the greater? Ange Postecoglou, like Celtic fans, of course, would be disappointed because they want to win the treble. They want to make their season as historic as possible, and they see no wrong in their manager. However, okay, they'd be disappointed. But if Michael Beale loses this and the season ends and it's trophyless and it's another defeat against Celtic, he then goes into the fifth game against Celtic in the league, back against the wall, and if he then loses that or doesn't he get a positive result in that, where does that leave you? Rangers manager, 5 goals at Celtic within a 6-month period and not being able to beat them. This is the one. Now, if they lose the league game at Ibrox, listen, who cares? The league's gone. But this is the one that has got some sign of success if they win it.
Let's hear from Alex McLeish then, two former managers speaking today ahead of the big one.
I went through a spell as well, and it's you know, try to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But what the guys, definitely everybody at Ibrox, has to be getting into that game believing that they'll win, not hoping that they can win. They must have that belief, and you know, the fast guys, that are in the team, they've got to be isolating defenders, they've got to get one-on-ones, they've got to be taking people on, making a difference, as we've seen Celtic kind of doing in the last 12 months or so, or more.
Yeah, have belief. I mean, I suppose that's easier said than done. But Mark, there's still enough there. Rangers fans, Rangers players are not going to be, well, you'd like to think if there's anything about them, they're not going to be scrambling around completely bereft of any sort of confidence or belief, surely.
No, of course not, because there's certain things in both the previous games, or three of the previous games, I suppose they can take positives from. Now, the game at Hampden, the final, yeah, they were disappointing, but they had that wee period, remember, just after Celtic scored their setting. They could extract positives from that. The game at Ibrox, of course, they were leading late into the game, take positives from that, and they bounce back from being behind. And then the game at Celtic Park, everybody said Rangers played well. Downside of that is Celtic didn't play particularly well and still won. So, look, the Celtic players will realise that the Rangers players are their closest competitors. They're the best players in the league that they come up against. So they're going to have to be at their best to beat them. And for Rangers players, I think Alex McLeish touched on a good point there. Where you're creative and you're quick players like Sakala and Kent, they need to take the game to Celtic and not just be bypassed.
Let's bring in Kevin on the line and get his thoughts. Take it away, Kevin.
How you doing? Obviously been listening for this week about the fixtures and that. Seems to be fixture list is the big talking point, wouldn't it? But for me, this week's semi-final should be the biggest talking point. I know you guys have been talking about pressure and stuff like that. There's more pressure on Rangers. And I think Martin O'Neill said that as well. And I agree, I said the point, but there's pressure on Celtic because this is the biggest game of your season. By far, it's the biggest game of the season. You've got a chance here to do something historic. Ange Postecoglou can join a short list of managers that have won a treble. And so there's pressure on everybody. This is the biggest game of the season. I was saying to your producer, I could not care less if Rangers beat us 4-5-0 at Ibrox in the last game of the season, as long as we win on Sunday. Couldn't care less what the score is.
Yes. But that's the point though, isn't it? It's different. It's got to be a different type of pressure. You know, if Ange Postecoglou can't join that group that you mentioned right now, that's not going to come with the pressure when we talk about, you know, real criticism or analysis of where it's gone wrong, is it? That's falling slightly short of something that's quite difficult to do. You know, that doesn't, that's not the type of pressure we tend to worry about in football discussions, is it?
Listen, I get what you're saying there, but it's still pressure. You're playing your biggest rivals. You're playing a stadium where the fans are going to be split 50-50. There's pressure as in people keep on saying we're so far in front of Rangers. Well, this is the biggest stage to deal on. This is the biggest game of the season. There is pressure to win a treble. You want a clean sweep, and you're basically one game. I don't want to disrespect Falkirk and Inverness, but you're basically 90 minutes away from doing it. So this isn't the time to buckle. This is the time to turn up. And by the way, we have been nowhere near our best three or four games in a row. So we need to step up a wee bit, because we haven't played very well. So the time is now to put on a performance on Sunday and get this out of the line.
Well, Kevin's right in terms of there is pressure. Look,
this pressure is the thing. No one's saying that there's no pressure on Celtic.
But what I was going to say, pressure to succeed and achieve something great like Ange Postecoglou in this Celtic side has got the opportunity to do is different from the pressure to stave off unbelievable criticism.
A trophy of the season.
That's two different. Now, I've been at opposite ends where you're striving to win things. I've also had the pressure where you could get relegated. I know which one I would prefer, which pressure I'd prefer. I'd be prepared to take the pressure. I try to win something all day long and you embrace that pressure. So I believe the Celtic players have shown in the past that they can embrace that. So they've got the players to do it. Where our Rangers players, I think they're under a different sort of pressure, where if they lose, it's the end of the road for a lot of them. A lot of the personnel on the pitch on Sunday, it'll be at the end of the road for a lot of them. And Michael Beale will have to reflect and look at things totally differently if he loses this game on Sunday at Hampden.
It's a very big word in the last couple of days now, starting to look forward to Sunday's pressure. You look at the game and Celtic know how to win games against Rangers. You talk about Rangers need to find a way of winning this game. They've got to find a way. I think the biggest thing that will happen is the criticism. There'll be criticism in a lower scale if Celtic lose it. Of course they will, because some Celtic fans will be disappointed. They'll see the treble disappearing. But I think there will be a lot of criticism flowing towards the Rangers side and management if they lose on Sunday.
Well, what do you think, Rangers fans? You could let us know. Kevin, just you mentioned there that you don't feel recent performances have been quite as good as maybe the bar had been set. I suppose the start of the game against Kilmarnock, though, was, people were talking about that as being up there with the very best. What was lacking last weekend that you think needs to return this time?
It seemed like for the first time in a long time that the guys were maybe just gone through the motions a wee bit. That's what it seemed like to me. I'm not saying that they were, but you know, I almost feel embarrassed criticising them because of what they've done this season in the league and stuff. So I'm not wanting to say, but the performance they've just not been there. It hasn't been great. What's been missing is the intensity in midfield. It hasn't been there, and I don't think it's any coincidence that Rio had the common denominator is Rio Hatate's not been there. Well, these performances have dipped the past 3 or 4 games. He's so crucial to your midfield. We all knew he was a great player, but I think the past 3 or 4 games, the past couple of games he's been missing, they stood out like a sore thumb that he's not been there. So hopefully he makes it.
There's just never much to question the Celtic team about, Mark. You know, you're going looking for it. You know, you're clutching at straws, and when they drop points at home for the first time this season, maybe, just maybe, that would have led to the conversation of, oh, hold on, is that a small dip at the wrong time? But then the next day, Rangers go and do worse, if you like. So it blew that potential discussion out of the water a bit.
If anything, it just highlights how good they've been. You know, because you look at the great teams in the past, Celtic teams in the past, some very good ones as well, that they just don't go on runs very often like this Celtic team. So when they drop points, it's well highlighted that, oh, what's been wrong on the day? Sometimes things just don't click. And I think the Celtic team can be excused for a day like they had against Motherwell, where it just didn't seem as fluid as it usually is. Kevin's point about Hatate, yep, totally agree with you. I mean, he's the best, one of the best players this season. Him and Kyogo definitely in the running for player of the year. I must say, I think Iwata's done a decent job when he's come in, but he is.
He'll play if Hatate doesn't.
Yeah, I've got a feeling he will play. Yeah, if Hatate doesn't make it,
who's it going to be then?
I don't think he will.
Go on then.
I think the midfield three. If everybody's fit?
No, if Hatate's not fit, obviously.
Right, okay. I think Moy, O'Reilly and McGregor will play.
I think Iwata's done enough over the last couple of outings.
Do you know something?
You slaughtered Moy for his performance the last time, the sides, mate.
Oh, he was terrible. But he's a talented player.
Good at Hamden, wasn't he, in the last
game? Yeah, one swallow doesn't make a summer, as I used to say, but...
I used to say.
Well, somebody gave me that one.
What's a swallow?
I've got to say.
Do not answer that question. Oh, please. 6:20. Absolutely not. Just we're late for the break. If you would carry on.
I'm so glad you interrupted me there. But I've got to say, you look at Celtic and people say about it, Celtic are like any other team. There's not a team going about. Celtic have such a high bar. You're going to have off days, and sometimes you've got to give the off days to the opposition. I thought Motherwell tactically last week were brilliant, but this is a completely different scenario come Sunday. It'll be a different ball game, different game.
Thank you, Kevin. Speaking of ball games, Kevin is in the hat for a night out at Topgolf with us. He's probably thinking, he's hung up already, because he's like, he's thinking, I wanted to make a point, but I don't want to go in the hat for that.
How many people will come on with a false name tonight?
Yeah, false address.
Yeah, I have the full lot.
Hide their phone number. But anyway, it's Cash for Kids Day. We're having a bit of fun, raising a lot of money for a brilliant cause. And every caller who makes it on air tonight into the hat, you get a night out at Topgolf with these two and some food chucked in as well. I'm sure you'll love it. They're very good company, I promise you that. Get your calls in right now and we'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson are here, 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. So do get in touch as we crank up the previews ahead of two huge Scottish Cup semi-finals at the weekend. Come on, I know there might not be many out there. But any Falkirk or Inverness fans who are listening, we'd love to have you. Why not get in touch and let us know how you're feeling? Take your chance to overshadow the big two, even if for a few minutes, because I know a lot of the discussion is clearly pointing at Sunday, but we want to give you the attention you deserve. Let's bring in Robert, who's a Rangers fan from Partick. How are you, Robert?
I'm not bad. How are you guys?
All good in here, Robert. What's your point tonight?
Listen, I'm a first-time caller. I just wanted to... I've been listening to the show. Well, to be honest with you, I was listening to the show, but I've just tuned in, but...
Robert, I like honesty. That's absolutely fine. I hope you were doing something much more important than listening to these two.
To be honest with you, do you know what I wanted to say to you, Gordon? I'm a Rangers fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm married to an Arsenal fan from London.
Right.
And see, last night, I'm trying to... She's so upset, right? And I'm trying to wipe my tears and things. You know what it's like? And I went... Do you know she's not talking to me today? And I'm looking for a bit of advice here. She's not talking. I went, it's all right, darling. It's all right. And I thought back to UEFA Cup final when she tried it with me vice versa. It's a terrible feeling, isn't it? But you, I don't know if you know that as a Motherwell fan.
I'm worried about where that was going. Yeah. And I'm not getting marriage advice off Gordon Dale. That would be ridiculous. What would your words of wisdom to Robert be?
I just think
Golly for a few nights.
You're still in the same house,
Gordon.
Yes,
Gordon,
Robert.
You've had a couple of wives, right?
Robert, I'll just stop one. You there. I've had more than a couple.
What do you mean?
I've had three.
You've had more than one.
I've had three. More than a couple. Three.
Well, that's two more than me. So I'm going to ask you a bit of advice. This is relationship advice.
Uh huh.
But what is actually happening? Like, even by this show's bizarre standards,
I like the way this is going.
Yeah. I don't.
Leave Robert.
I'm terrified and
mind
confused.
And we'll just fade it.
Here's what I'll do, Robert.
I'll send you one of my city tops.
I'll give you Gordon Dale's private number, and you two can discuss this later. Do you have any point about Rangers currently to make?
Yeah, I do. But I was just looking for Gordon's like marital advice, because my wife's an Arsenal fan, and like I'd honestly, I slept on the couch last night and I was going blue moon, right? And I'm winding it up. Now Gordon's a Man City boy. I'm a dead man. She's getting people looking for me than you.
Honestly, what is happening? Like, I get it, and it's a funny story and a nice anecdote. But are we going to move away from it at any point?
You left me standing alone.
What? Honestly, we've completely lost the plot, and it's only half past six.
I quite like the call,
Robert. I do like it, but God, please just try and make one semblance of a Rangers point before we go, please.
In a minute, but I want relationship.
All right, he's gone. That's it. Three strikes, gone. I've had enough.
He's phoned the wrong number.
No, she's not, because he told the producer he wanted to talk about Jack Butland. Rangers signing targets for next season.
He's duped Chris there. Well, he's speaking about Butland, then just went on a rant about his relationship.
I've got something even more worrying for you, right? Just imagine he wins the tickets to talk of him and his wife. Imagine spending the night at Top Golf.
How can we fix that? How can we fix a draw, Chris?
Oh, get Robert. Get Robert and Arsenal.
Rob was magnificent. Where do we go from there?
He's at this. Right, well, I'll just read what his point was meant to be, and we can pick up on it. It says next season is far more important than this weekend for Rangers. I'd like to see Butland come in, but the other rumours are not good enough. Willock and players from Norwich are not the answer. So he managed to put on some sort of like brave, serious face.
He certainly strayed far away from that as possible. That's quite a good point.
What do you make of his good point? Let's compose ourselves.
I think next season will take care of itself. But looking at what's at stake at the weekend, especially for Rangers, you know, they're trying to stop Celtic from a treble. Since Michael Beale's come in, he's not got the better of Celtic, and Celtic supporters are saying, yeah, we're not even playing our best, we're still getting over the line. I just think it's massive for Michael Beale. As a Rangers manager, the one thing you'll be judged on, they'll look at outside the box and the league and winning games and whatever, but you're judged on winning trophies and beating Celtic.
I wonder, Mark, because we always talk about, we bang on about, you know, the unique environment here and the pressure, and second in Glasgow's nowhere, and all these phrases that get trotted out time and time again, that there might be some places where you can get away with that logic to say, well, look, Michael Beale hasn't even had a pre-season with these players. He's only signed two of them. If you think the rest of them are at the end of their cycle, either contractually or in terms of form, then of course he's going to need much, much more time than this. But on the other hand, is it all about goodwill, really, going into next season? Because yeah, like, I think you two, most of the pundits on here, Michael Beale's going to be the Rangers manager next season,
of course,
whatever
yes
happens at the end of the campaign. In the eyes of many of the fans, though, he can either start that campaign with loads of goodwill in the tank, yeah, or he can start it with, wait, end of last season was nowhere near good enough, this better be a quick start.
Yeah, you're on borrowed time, almost, yeah. Yeah, that's the way it is. And sometimes, of course, when you have new signings, which Michael Beale will have, and he'll reshape his squad, no doubt about that, then you need sometimes a wee bit of time to get everything to gel. Sometimes everything isn't perfect at the start, and we saw that with Celtic, with Ange Postecoglou. You'd have to fear for Michael Beale if he finishes this season without a trophy, further behind Celtic than when Giovanni van Bronckhorst came in, and then he starts the season poorly. You'd have to fear for his future then. But he will be the manager, but it's how much a squad he needs. Bear in mind as well, Michael Beale was brought in because he was supposed to be a coach that could get the best out of the squad that was there. And I don't know if he's quite achieved that as much as the Rangers fans would want. Yes, results up to the Aberdeen game, the Celtic game, pointed in the right direction. Performance wise, individual players didn't. So I think he has to get that better himself, and his coaching staff have to get that better themselves, as well as add quality in the dressing room.
Robert's only just hung up. He was still there for like the last 10 minutes.
He's come in
and I was tempted just to go for one final goodbye. But he's, oh, don't. He's gone. Jiggy says Robert is up there with the best caller ever.
He was relentless. I was with the relationship.
I would love advice. Robert to come on and beat the pundit tonight. I think it'd be brilliant.
You too, Robert and Mrs. Robert at Topgolf. We'll stream it live.
Me's Rangers tracky on.
She's running about with the Arsenal.
But why was he? What I didn't. Why was he getting the blame?
I don't know.
He's not a Man City fan.
Yeah, but I don't think lying in the couch singing Man City Blue Moon, it was going to help.
That was his downfall.
Poor held up in the spare room with her Arsenal top on. I was never going to
stank. No. Mic off. No way. Arsenal top. It was. Billy, bring some sense back to this. Billy's a Rangers fan. What are you thinking ahead of the weekend?
Oh, I don't know if I can bring sense to the show. Good God.
No, we're far gone.
No, seriously. Thank God for putting the call through. I'm really worried for the weekend, honestly, because I really can't see Rangers doing anything against Celtic this Sunday. Everybody says that they're getting closer to Celtic and all the rest of it. But I think after last weekend, obviously, Celtic drew one each against just good sales. And Rangers were absolutely demoralised against Aberdeen. And I can't see Michael Beale building that confidence up in the Rangers players, whereas I can see, you know, the Celtic players coming out there and fighting for everything they've got. I mean, the last games we've watched, the Rangers players haven't been there, all the big players that were meant to have. I just can't see it happening. And I think it's about, I hate to say it, but I think it's about time the Rangers board realised we just haven't got the players to match Celtic. And it's your Kents, your Morelis's, they're not up for the match of Celtic.
Do Rangers have a match winner issue then? I think that's kind of what Billy's getting at. Because you can win games or you can get close in games without them. Of course you can. Just most teams, you know, want to get into big matches with a few guys that you think they're the ones that'll you know, win this for us?
Yeah, I think in the past Rangers have looked at Morelos and Kent, for instance. I know he scored a terrific goal at Ibrox, Kent. Whether he plays or not, I think, yeah, you would look at the Rangers side. Now, I'm not. You ask every Celtic supporter, they'll tell you, we'll win on Sunday. Of course we will. And they're quite right to have that confidence because of what's going on, the squad that they've got, everything about it, their manager. Semi-final, Rangers will need to be at their best. And I think Billy's right. I think Rangers, to win the game, will need to find that match winner on the day. Now, have they got players on that park capable? I think they have, on their day in a special moment. I like the look of Cantwell. I think he's come in and I think he's excited the Rangers supporters. Tillman's a young player that seems to dip in his form but get good ability. Morelos, for me, I think end of season when he leaves, Rangers will need to find someone to come in and fill that position, because I don't think Colak has got to be going forward. And Ryan Kent, once again, we will say it, if he plays on Sunday, is this a day he steps up? But he seldom does. And if Rangers are going to win the game, they have to find, and I said earlier in the show, they have to find a way that they've not found before to outdo Celtic.
Problem is, on their day, very rarely is against Celtic. On their day, you'll see Ryan Kent maybe pop up against a Hearts or a Hibs. Same with Morelos, who'll score a couple against Dundee United or whatever. But on their day, very rarely, recently, falls against Celtic. Now, in the past, yeah, you could single out Ryan Kent against Celtic. And, you know, he scored some terrific goals over the years and been the real standout. Morelos, of course, always brung something. But just now, they're two men down. They really are. And that's where it becomes massive for Michael Beale, because Michael Beale has to make the decision. If he rolls the dice again with Kent and Morelos and accepts that this might just be the day, the spark into life, or if he says, no, I've had enough. Listen, I've tried to get everything I can at them. They aren't delivering. I am going to try a Sakala. Or does Matondo come from nowhere? I don't think he will. But
would you bring Ryan Kent back into the team, Billy, if he is fit? He's obviously missed the last two. You know, is he still the best option to try and win that game? Is he still someone that you would definitely play?
No.
No?
Honestly, no. I wouldn't put him in. Matondo, as I said, aye, fair enough, I go for it. And I'd also start Scott Arfield.
This is maybe a debate we'll explore tomorrow once we've had the updates, if you like, from Michael Beale and who's ready and who's not, Mark. It's just, I do wonder, because the first game Ryan Kent misses, Rangers go and win comfortably in the end without him. And it was halfway there, I was maybe get ahead of myself on this show, thinking, well, if Rangers go to Pittodrie and win again without Ryan Kent,
we go without him.
And then everyone's been questioning his form anyway. Are you actually in a place where you leave him out of a Celtic game, which is something you wouldn't have you know, ever really thought of in the past? But then Rangers didn't do well last weekend anyway, so does that increase the chances that he does come back in if he's fit? Was he always going to come back in?
I think Michael Beale will bring him back in, and I can totally understand why he'll bring him back in. I think, like Mark says, he'll stick with Morelos as well. And I totally can understand that. But I don't know what Michael Beale does on Sunday. I don't know if he might look at something a little bit tactically different, Gordon. Because no matter if they go out with their rigid four at the back, and obviously they're two in the middle of the park, three up front, and whatever, if Sakala plays in, Celtic combat that playing bad.
Yeah, but he rightly or wrongly, he clearly felt, though, that they got a lot of it right when they played the last time.
Yeah, but they still didn't get the most important thing right. The result.
Yeah, no, but remember, I'm talking about Michael Beale's post-match. Now, unless he's got different thoughts behind closed doors, which he might, but he was very much about, well, it's the individual mistakes we made. And it was the, you know, the disallowed goal for Alfredo Morelos. He didn't strike you as a guy who thought he got his tactical plan all wrong.
But for me, it takes a magnificent Tavernier goal to get them back into the game. For a free kick, you cannot keep depending on set plays.
No, this is the thing. I'm trying to get inside Michael Beale's head, though, Mark. Do you see the difference? I get why you guys or anyone else might think that Rangers need to do something different. Yes. But he was clearly quite happy with a lot of,
In gameplay, he was happy. Yeah. He was happy with a lot of what happened in the first half. Probably restricted Celtic to few chances compared to what we've seen in the past. And yeah, they put Celtic under pressure, particularly at the start of the second half. Yeah, he was happy with that. But Daz is right also. He'll have to assess if he thinks that's the right path and that's the best way to get the result, or he thinks, well, we still gave up too much territory in the final third, forcing our guys to into some mistakes that we could do better. Will be fascinating to see if he does stick with the shape.
Thank you, Billy. 01419511025. If you call right now, we'll do our best to get you on next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL is here. Mark Wilson is also alongside him, and they're waiting for you to get in touch. 01419511025. Or Twitter at Clyde SSB. It's Cash for Kids Day. A lot of fun and games going on in this office and various workplaces all around Glasgow and the West, trying to raise money for children and families that need it most. So thank you to everyone that's taken part today and is continuing to do so. And we've teamed up with Topgolf tonight as well. They're donating £1 from every chicken burger sold across the weekend to Cash for Kids, which is very nice of them. And if you call in tonight, make a point to the guy. Try and make it about football, not like the guy that wanted relationship advice earlier. That was a bit odd. But if you come onto the show tonight, you go into the hat to win a night out at Topgolf with Mark Wilson and Gordon DL for you and a couple of your pals with a bit of food chucked in. I mean,
phone lines are jammed.
At the beginning, you were involved. You've seen his distances.
Where are you going?
You think Robert's winning, so you've distanced yourself.
No. See, that, humble as I am, I assume, right, that realistically, they'd much rather go with you two, and therefore, it would allow them to bring an extra pal. I don't think Andy needs me there. Do you know what I mean?
You're going.
You're going. You two are the celebrity attractions.
No, I think.
I'm just here to look after you.
Why did we not dress up actually for the Cash for Kids Day?
I thought you were dressed up. I thought that was your Elton John outfit.
I thought
we were
going to come dressed as pop stars. This is Elton's pajamas.
Is it 80s or something?
Just dressed like a pop star.
Pop star.
A pop star.
You were coming as, who is it, Joe Longthorn?
No, Joe, he wasn't a pop star.
Who's the other guy that was at the Civic Centre the other day?
Nathan Carr. I love Nathan Carr.
He's got a tour bus and everything.
Do you just like artists that no one's heard of? Could you name one that we play on this radio station? That would be helpful when we're having this
everybody
discussion. Yeah. No. Look, name one artist that we play on this radio station, because that's kind of the line we would try and go down.
One artist?
Yes. Any?
Sammy Smith.
Sammy Smith.
Is it Sam Smith?
He's actually came dressed as Sam Smith. That's where you came from.
Before we get ourselves in trouble, 01419511025. Kieran is a Celtic fan in East Kilbride. What's the thoughts then, Kieran, ahead of Sunday?
How's it going, Paddy? You alright?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good.
The thoughts is, if you especially coming out of Sunday with all the injuries, if you think the squad depth of us is good, because as everyone's been saying throughout the season, that Celtic's been really strong, so with the depth going forward, I think sort of last weekend and a couple of weeks previous has shown that maybe Ange doesn't really have as much confidence in the squad depth if he's still playing the usual players when they look all lethargic and not getting the results.
What has this happened, Kieran? You say the last couple of weeks, for instance. Is it not only the Motherwell game? Am I missing something from before that?
The performances, yeah, but still getting the results. The sort of performances is, even though it has been high standards, and as Mark said earlier on in the show, they are due sort of a wee dip here and there. But if it's the same players going forward, then the performances aren't really much improving. As down at the squad depth, or because I believe that sort of at that Motherwell game that was a perfect opportunity to get some of the young boys on and get them some more minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking, Mark, then look, Motherwell, obviously, but the problem is the game immediately before that, Ange Postecoglou thought it was one of the best starts to a game that he's seen them make. Kilmarnock, fine. Before that, though, still beat Rangers. Yes, Ross County away maybe wasn't vintage. Hibs at home maybe wasn't vintage. But I don't know, it just feels like maybe are Celtic victims of their own success a bit here.
I believe so. I think, you know, when it doesn't hit a perfect 10 on a Saturday, people are starting to nitpick, and you know, Kieran saying the squad depth maybe isn't there, but if some of the bigger hitters didn't play on Saturday and Celtic dropped points, then the finger would have been pointed at Ange Postecoglou for perhaps not doing a serious enough job on Motherwell leading up to the Rangers game. He picked an incredibly strong team to face Motherwell. Like, it happens. It's happened to us all. Sometimes we have off days. Sometimes the team doesn't click. Sometimes, as Daz says, an opposition manager, an opposition set of players get it right on the day and make it very difficult for you. Got to remember, this just isn't a league where you just turn up as a Celtic player and just steamroller everybody 5-0 and no one else has got a say in it. People have the right to have a say and make it difficult. So I think it's good to see some of the young boys coming through, particularly Vata. I've been a voice in that over the past month, saying that that's the only thing missing, and they're getting a chance, but I didn't think they were ever going to start.
And it also comes at a time when Jota and Abada are not in the squad, though, doesn't it? Yeah. You can't take it away, and Vata's done quite well, but presumably he doesn't come on if they're around. What's the worry then, Kieran? What area do you think you don't have this depth in for this weekend?
I think in the midfield, especially with sort of Hatate not being there, as much as Awata's come in, he's great, but Awata's not the same sort of playmaker as Hatate is. I feel like when you take sort of Hatate out, when I look at that bench, we don't really have a sort of confident creative midfielder that does the sort of work that Hatate does. And again, it's as soon as he's sort of out the team, that's when you see these performances dip and the chances not created as much.
I mean, that's probably true, Mark. I can see you nodding, but is that more a compliment to Hatate?
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, how are you going to get a real Hatate replacement to then sit on the bench? If we're talking about lacking depth, are we in a scenario there where it's a poor old Celtic, they can only call on the Japanese player of the year or Aaron Moy, who was the best player when these sides met at Hampden previously? Is that the lack of depth? I mean, they might not be as effective as Hatate, but that feels like a different discussion.
Well, you look at the best teams in the world, any team in the world, you take a creative midfielder such as Hatate to Celtic, see, take away De Bruyne from Man City. Now, I know that's a different scale, but you still suffer from Kevin De Bruyne not being in your team because he creates so much. Hatate's similar, and maybe that's what Kieran's touching on. However, Celtic are in a very good position that you're right. They can bring on Awata, they can bring on Moy, they can look at David Turnbull. I mean, what a talent David Turnbull is, and he hardly gets a look in now. The goals he scores, the creativity he brings, but he never gets in. So Kieran's right in one way, but I don't think anyone should be feeling sorry for Ange Postecoglou for having a lack of depth in his squad.
Is there a Hatate-shaped hole when he's not in the team, though? Is he, just because of how good he is, rather than this chronic lack of depth, is he irreplaceable, or is that too strong?
Well, I think he's very much missed because of his ability and what he's brought this year. He's been absolutely outstanding in the middle of the park. But I agree with Mark. I think that, you know, as much as he is a miss, I still look at that squad. I still look at the Midley Park, and I look at the talent that can't get anywhere near the games. I'm with Mark. I wouldn't feel sorry for a Celtic manager. Would every Celtic fan and the Celtic manager want Hatate fit for Sunday? 100%. But I don't think it's got to decide the game.
Thank you very much to Kieran, by the way, and East Kilbride. He's in the hat for the night out at Topgolf. For some reason, Robert is on the phone to the producers. I can see him. I can see his call is on the screen.
Rob's back.
He's trying to get back on. He wants to make his point now, having asked for it.
He's blew it.
He's made up.
We gave him one last chance.
I know.
He's
not
being a pundit.
Do you know what I think it was? It was when you mentioned Kevin De Bruyne there. I think it brought it all back in the household from last night. Anyway, thanks again to Kieran.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. How are you feeling tonight? Are you confident? Mark and Gordon, they're not the best at Beat the Pundit anyway, and I feel like they're distracted more than usual tonight. So you could take advantage. There's a signed ball up for grabs alongside the bragging rights as well. So if you want to take them on, it's 0141 951 1025, and your chance to beat the pundit is next.
tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here in the building. It's 0141 951 1025. So come on down, we're here for another hour or so, building up to two big Scottish Cup semi-finals. Lots been said already about Rangers against Celtic on Sunday. We've heard from Martin O'Neill and Alex McLeish, so plenty more to come from that discussion. If you want to keep it going, please do. If you want to move on to something else we've not covered, then please put us in our place. What about Falkirk Inverness? We'll look at that one soon as well, but let's do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Good win for you on Tuesday.
Brilliant win.
Back in about it.
I needed it, Gordon.
You did need it. You did,
I needed
didn't
it. I was getting a lot of criticism from people outside the building, mm-hmm. which I wasn't happy. It's all about responding.
Haters. Would you
describe
them as?
Not really haters, just people.
Trolls.
That, when you're mm-hmm. down.
Trolls and haters.
When you're down, they took great pleasure.
Kicking
and,
you.
Yeah, but that's the character of this man.
Just rise above it.
Bounce right
yeah,
back.
Yeah, good on you. Good on you. John is in Johnston. How's it going, John?
Hi, guys. Yeah, fine, thank you.
Good
How's
man. Yourself? Yeah, can't complain. Have you ever played before, John?
No, I haven't, no.
Good stuff. Right, let's see what we've got then. Heads, it will be Mark Wilson. And tails, it will be Gordon DL for the second time this week. But it's not, it's heads. Mark against John.
Good luck, John.
And Johnston. So what we'll do here is give Mark some greatest hits radio to listen to, and I'll turn it up nice and loud, as I say every night, just so that he can't hear us. And it's very straightforward, John. I know you've never played before, you've probably heard it, so just answer as many as you can. And if you want to pass the question and move on to the next one, just let me know. That's absolutely fine, okay?
No problem.
Let's
Thanks.
Go then. Your time starts now. Who's got more league goals this season, Abada or Jota?
Jota.
Name any former Rangers player who's been capped by Nigeria.
Pass.
How many different players scored for Hearts against Ross County on Saturday?
Four.
Who was the manager of Aberdeen the last time they beat Celtic?
Pass.
Florian Camberi joined Rangers on loan from which other Scottish side?
Hibs.
Who's bottom of the Scottish Championship?
Arbroath.
Okay. Mark, can you hear us?
Yeah.
They're tough again, aren't they?
It's,
no, you didn't. It's because you're not playing.
No, I thought they were easy. They're
tough. They are tough, I'm telling you. Don't listen to him.
Stand there for any particular reason.
You ready, Mark? Oh, he's blocking out the league table, so he is.
Aye, size of him.
He's not certainly seen it. Blocking out.
We can't even see that window.
Blocking out half the wall. Right, you ready, Mark?
Yeah, yeah.
Same set of questions. Your time starts now. Who's got more league goals this season, Abada or Jota?
Abada.
Name any former Rangers player who's been capped by Nigeria.
Oh, pass.
How many different players scored for Hearts against Ross County on Saturday?
Three.
Who was the manager of Aberdeen the last time they beat Celtic?
Derek McInnes.
Florian Camberi joined Rangers on loan from which other Scottish side?
Oh, Hibs.
And who's bottom of the Scottish Championship?
Oh, Awa. No. No, there they are. Ah, oh, it's cold. Oh no.
Well, I mean, Awa are not even in the league, the division, yeah. So that's problematic.
I hope I have helped, John.
John, what do you think?
I have no idea. I only phoned up because I wanted to get into the Top Golf thing.
Quite
and
right.
Ah, John.
Listen, that's what it's all about.
I like that. That's nice. In fact, I tell you what, if you don't want, I'll take you myself.
He won't, John. He's an absolute liar. But anyway, you never know. John might win, and that would be a happy ending for everyone. Who scored more league goals this season, Abada or Jota?
I went Jota.
John goes 1-0 up. It is Jota.
It's a Jota.
11-10. Mm.
Ah, not that's much. Tight,
I'm disappointed in you here. Okay. Name any former Rangers player who's been capped by Nigeria. I mean, Sonny Aluko, Joe Aribo, ooh, Calvin Bassey, Leon Balogun.
No, obvious
choices. You didn't even try.
I'm not interested.
Passed
in that.
It right out of the park. A move all too familiar over the years. How many different players scored for Hearts against Ross County on Saturday? Cochrane, Ginelli, Shankland. And that was it, John, I'm afraid. Mark got it, it's three, so he is level.
We're back, John.
Who was the manager of Aberdeen the last time they beat Celtic? It was Derek McInnes. So Mark goes in front.
Yeah. Oh, who did John say?
I think he passed.
Craig Brown.
Flo Camberry. Flo Camberry joined Hibs. Rangers on loan from Hibs. John got it, well done, but John. So did Mark.
Oh, unlucky John.
And John was so close. He was at least in the right division.
Hamilton.
But he got it wrong. It's Cove Rangers. And do you know what, John? They're only there on goal difference as well. But as much as I'd love to, I can't. It's a 3-2 to Mark Wilson. But you might still get your night out with these two at Top Golf. We'll see.
Well, you never know. That's it.
Good well man, John.
Well,
thank
played,
you.
John.
Yeah, and if you do, we'll really look forward to seeing you.
I like John. I'd be so happy if John.
So do
I. But now we're going to need to just tone it down, because if he does win, people think
he fixed it.
Right.
And now he pretty much can't win. You're going to need to take him out.
To be fair, to be fair, we fixed it for wee Robert to win.
No, I'm not coming.
Hey, Rob, bang.
He was still phoning throughout the news there.
He's got us in speed dial
he's
now.
Having a
isn't
good night, isn't he?
Oh, aye. He's sitting in that couch. Yeah. He's still out there, darling.
In case you're wondering, every caller who makes it on air tonight goes into the hat for you and three. Is it no? You and two or three of your friends, whatever you want, we'll configure it somehow. But you and two of your mates to come for the night out at Top Golf with us with some food, or maybe you'll bring an extra mate and I'll just.
What
stay
is it?
House.
Is it two or three?
Yeah. What is it?
Are you just making this up? As
no,
you go?
Genuinely. Right. The initial idea was us three,
right,
plus three listeners.
Aye.
But genuinely, they might think I'd rather just bring an extra mate and go with Wilson and Dale.
You're not getting out of this. You're trying to.
I'm not. I love it there. I'd happily go back.
Maybe they would want to drop two of us.
There's every chance.
Aye.
Bring producer Chris.
What are you two going to do?
No, I don't think so.
Boys will be wanting a wee bit of chat.
I do like a game at Top Golf. So
yeah, it's good. We're good, didn't we? We're good.
You're annoyingly fantastic at it.
We're good.
It's a game that's designed for somebody who can just hit it in the exact same spot every time.
Yeah.
Which is you over the back.
We're okay.
I was hopeless last time, I must admit. Anyway, 01419511025, and you can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. Let's get in touch and let us know what you're thinking tonight. Let's hear a bit more from Martin O'Neill. He believes Kyogo's on the right path to emulating Henrik Larsson's success at Celtic. However, he does say the Japanese striker still has a long way to go.
Henrik Larsson scored a lot of goals. First of all, he scored them in Scotland, and people, there might have been a bit of derision about that there. Then he scored them in European football. One of his greatest games ever was in the UEFA Cup final, where he scored two goals against a side that went on to win the Champions League. So what does he do then after that? He goes to Barcelona. And I know it was difficult breaking in and being a starter in a side that had all those great players. But he makes a difference in the European Cup final, and then goes on at, I think, was it 33, 34, and scores goals at Manchester United, so much so that one of the great managers of all time wants him to stay at the football club. That's the sort of thing that that Kyogo, hopefully, during the course of his career, could end up achieving. That would be great. But that's a long way away. Let me put it this way. He's on the right path. He's in the right path at this moment. He's got a lot to do. But even to draw some sort of comparison with Henry is shows you that he's doing okay. I'm sure the manager's delighted with him, as I was with Larsson.
It's a heck of a high bar, isn't it, Mark? You know, and maybe it doesn't need to be that deep. It's a bit of harmless fun. If you're saying that Larsson is the best Celtic striker of the modern era, you're just looking at, okay, well, is Kyogo the next best since then? And how close is he? But it's a very difficult one, isn't it?
Well, they're judged on, I suppose, first and foremost, their goals. A Celtic front man is always judged on the goals they return. So in terms of Larsson, his first couple of years at Celtic, he maybe returned just under 60 goals, something like that, in his first couple of seasons. Kyogo, where would Kyogo be sitting at? What's he got this season? 30, what'd they get last season? So not a million. The point is, he's not a million miles off with the goal scoring. Then you look at their all-round game. Now Kyogo just brings something different for any other front man in this country, in terms of movement, work rate, and so on. Larsson just had an all-round complete game, almost from he first kicked a ball at Celtic till he left. So I don't think there is any going to be any comparison that will Kyogo overtake Larsson. Don't think there's any chance of that. I think we've been very lucky to live through the era that he played and see him. But he's not far off being the next best, but he has to continue. I think Martin O'Neill touched on a good point there. Henrik Larsson took it to the European stage. That's Kyogo's next goal. Can do it in Scotland, no bother. Can do it in cup competitions here. taking it to the Champions League and taking it to the Europa League is the next stage.
Maybe the last sort of point from Martin O'Neill was the most relevant though, Gordon, the most important, that if you're even daring to ask the question, if you're even putting any of your time and effort into the comparison,
he's doing something right.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I thought Martin O'Neill handled that question very well, as he normally does. Look, Kyogo's been absolutely sensational for Celtic, but if I'm honest, I think Larsson's in a different landing. I think he's top of the tree.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah,
I've heard like different planet. I thought that's where you were going.
Makes sense.
Lives in a block of flats, yeah. Then why not?
Yeah, well, I just thought I'd bring that to the show. But Kyogo certainly has hit the ground running me Celtic career. He's a favourite of the fans. He's rewarded them with goals, even off the ball. His work rate is brilliant. He makes brilliant runs. Any young player going along probably would learn a lot from just watching him. But you're talking about Henrik Larsson, and even to get near that, that's a massive compliment.
It feels like, obviously, when Celtic are functioning as well as they do, Mark, you can't just pick one player and think, oh, stop him, and then that's it. I've heard it said that at source, you're clearly looking to try and stop Callum McGregor first. If you can do that, Rangers, I guess, did it at points in one of the previous games and got close, but not every time. You're never going to stop him every time. Is that the way it has to be? I mean, can you do anything different to combat Kyogo specifically? Or does it need to be earlier than that?
Well, I believe it does need to be earlier than that. I mean, Kyogo's movement can only come to something if the ball gets either played to him or he drags defenders elsewhere that creates space for one of the wide guys. But quite often when even the wide guys get it, who gives them it? It's quite often Callum McGregor. Now, when Rangers, I can't remember the game it was, but when Rangers did get close to him, did somebody not just go man-mark Callum McGregor and stick by him? For me, that's the only way I can see it being a success. You are then no sacrificing one of your players to just, that's your sole job.
Tillman the last time.
Yeah, that's your sole job. Never mind anybody else, you sticking him, and it's up to Callum McGregor to shake you off. Maybe that's Beale's best hope, because Callum McGregor is head and shoulders above most people he comes up against, and he just makes things look
sweet.
I don't
like that tactic, Mark.
Martin.
Yeah, I don't like the tactic at all. I think that
there's a middle ground though. Not necessarily follow him everywhere he goes, but there needs to be someone on. If he gets the ball, there needs to be someone who stops
him. I think
you've
got to work in where you're going to press and how you're going to stop the supply of the ball getting into McGregor. And when it's going to McGregor, I think the press has got to be good, that someone's probably engaging them when he's getting his back to go, and he's not got that opportunity just to take one touch on that lovely left foot he has and start drilling passes into strikers and midfield players and wingers. Listen, it's very difficult because McGregor's a very talented player and a very clever player, but I would certainly be trying to work on stopping the supply getting in as much as I could.
Bobby is a Celtic fan. Take it away, Bobby.
Hello. It's the Gordon Dale especially. Gordon, you were going on there about Morelos. For a top Ranger striker, he's only scored 3 goals in nearly 6 seasons at Ibrox against Celtic.
I never mentioned Morelos. When did I mention Morelos?
I remember. I think you did.
Bobby,
aye.
Are you sure it's
me? No, he's Rangers' top striker.
Who said that?
Morelos would play because Cholak's not the answer, and you believe he would go with him.
Who is Rangers' top striker, Bobby?
I don't know. It must be the penalty taker.
Well, he's not a striker, though, is he?
Tavernier's a right back.
He's not a striker, though, is he?
Well, who's your striker then? Who's your main striker?
Morelos just now.
And the many goals has he scored against Celtic?
Right, okay, you can get that.
Doesn't mean he's not Rangers' main striker, though. Whether he's good or not is like an entirely different,
like,
question.
Bobby's attitude towards you.
I know, Bobby.
Yeah, so that's about time people treated you with
more
disdain.
You've come on a bit aggressive there with your voice. I just said that I thought that Ken and Morelos would probably start against Celtic at the weekend.
Right. My point to you is, why is Morelos only scored 3 goals in nearly 6 seasons against Celtic?
My point to you is, I don't know. I've no idea why Morelos is only, maybe he's passed up chances, maybe he's not the chances not being created. Maybe he's not finished in the way he should have finished.
Maybe he got a goal disallowed.
Maybe he got a goal disallowed.
Have you heard about that one? We spent hours on it.
Maybe, yeah, exactly. So, Bobby, it's a very hard question to answer. There's a lot of good players out there that scored lots of goals, and then against a particular team, maybe not scored as many and still get good reputations of being a good striker and a goal scorer.
Gordon, how many of you really good strikers have you played with at Rangers? The solo scored 3 goals in 6 years.
I'm just a bit, I'm a little bit confused. Mm. I love the fact he's giving you a hard time. I'm here for that.
Bobby's on my case.
It's almost like you're saying Morelos is brilliant, and then Bobby's coming on to say no, he's not, and pointing out the deficiencies. I don't really know what the argument is, because you've not really said that, to be fair to you.
No, all I've said is, when we had the debate about Sunday, would he bring Kent back, and I said I could see the reason behind it. Would he play Morelos, who's not in good form? I could see the reason behind it. That's all I said. And I think Bobby's taking that the wrong
Bobby
way.
I'm going to go on a limb here. You, as a Celtic fan, you don't fear Alfredo Morelos on Sunday then?
I want to see Alfredo Morelos playing on Sunday.
Wait till he scores an R3. What are you going to say then, Bobby?
Take 6.
What are you going to say then, Bobby? You got to come on Tuesday.
He did score when the sides met at Hampden Mark. It wasn't enough for Rangers on the day, but that was one of his... one of the 3 goals that Bobby so quite accurately quotes.
I think a lot of Celtic fans will be like Bobby and say they'd rather see Morelos leading the line for Rangers than a Sakala through the middle or a Colak through the middle, because I think his return in terms of his overall game has been poor. And even look at him last week. Look, current form as well.
What have you seen to suggest that other two are a better option in this fixture? And that's not me saying Morelos is brilliant. It's far from it.
Listen, nothing. Well, nothing in these games, because they don't get the chance to play in these games. So I don't know.
Because even if the bar is low, Bobby's bar is very low.
Yeah,
he's still the one guy that scored the last time the sides met at Hampden.
He is.
There was obviously the controversy over the one at Celtic Park. That I can't dress up the record. Of course, 3's not the return that he would.
But
look
I guess Rangers fans would probably tell you the answer better than I would. Maybe a lot would say stick with Morelos. I feel he turns out performance after performance that is the same. Daz was talking about stopping the supply, right, to McGregor. So striker, playing striker isn't always about scoring goals. Morelos does not stop either Carter Vickers or Starfelt or any of the back line taking the ball and putting it into McGregor. He's a bystander. Now I don't think you can take bystanders into a game like that on Sunday when you really need to win.
The answer's simple. I think that Michael Beale thinks that right now Morelos is his best option. Right? You look at Sakala,
so even
you look
if
at
that
Colak,
is even if that is the best of a slightly ineffective bunch, he's still the best.
Yes. Okay. And I think Michael Beale feels that way.
Hope Bobby wins the night out at Topgolf.
So do I.
You too, something. Thank you, Bobby. 01419511025. Good time to call.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DLR here at 01419511025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. You two actually struggling that you need to put in a proper shift tonight, because on Tuesday you got to just sit back for the full second hour because we had Mark O'Hara in. Great to hear from him, wasn't it? And all the St Mirren stuff. You two just got to sit
it's
there.
Great.
I just put him under the spotlight for the full. Do you know what though? Actually, something came to light after the show, and I feel it needs a mention. I feel like we need to give our big thanks not only to Mark O'Hara for coming in, but to Mark O'Hara's partner, who we were astonished to find, the three of us, when we left. She just sat in the car the full time. Guy had been in here for like an hour and a half. And just left her just sitting in the car in the car park.
So a bottle of water.
Bring her in. Oh no, she was fine. She was happy. He said to sit in the car. I felt terrible.
I dragged
the poor guy in here. Sitting in the car.
And he leaves his good lady sitting in the front seat.
Clyde Bank Business Park.
Charlie McGrew will get done with that before.
Well, see, you can crack that joke because you're his friend. I wasn't going to go there. Yeah, there we go.
Well, so, I know. That was incredible.
It was nice for him and his ex-girlfriend to turn up.
I was brilliant walking out and saying, who's in the car? Mrs. just left her there.
Anyway, good there wasn't. It was good to look back on the success and the top lovely, six and
lovely
all that
boy.
Sort of stuff.
Lovely boy. Obviously, I wish him all the best for the rest of his season and seasons going forward.
Very sincere from you there. I was wondering where the joke was coming out. I've got a good teaser for you tonight. Sent in by Colin. Really good, actually. Not had one like this. And it's good timing because it's awards season, isn't it? Very tough, though. Very tough. Since 2011, 11 players have been nominated for Young Player of the Year. And at some point, they've played out with Europe. Do you like that? So since 2011, 11 players have been nominated for PFA Scotland's Young Player of the Year, and they've also played for a non-European club at some point in their career.
11?
That's gonna just nominated though.
Oh,
Ryan Gold.
Well done.
Oh,
well done.
America.
Have that.
Well, I think he's Canada to be.
Johnny Russell.
Johnny Russell. Right, we're going down the American route.
I know, because he won it the year I was nominated. Oh. Picked me to the post. Derek Riordan.
No.
Oh no, it was the year I was too early.
Too early.
I was going to say Stephen Pearson. He played in India, didn't he?
No, he's not one.
Lewis Morgan.
Yes, Lewis Morgan. I like it. I like your. Like your direction here.
What
I must
about
admit.
Vladimir Weiss?
No.
Thought he was 2000.
Barry Mackay?
No.
Where did he play?
I don't know.
Where did he play?
Fraser Aird I was thinking about. He's Canadian, isn't he? He must have played there.
Nah, but he came through Rangers as a. Anyway, neither of them. Let's not
worry. Right, I've just rattled off three there, so.
All right, we can get back to it. Thank you to Colin for sending it in. Colin sent that over on the email fulltime@clyde1.com. And I like it. I like it a lot. 11 players since 2011. They've been nominated for PFA Scotland's Young Player of the Year, and they've also played for a non-European club at some point, like Ryan Gold, Johnny Russell, Lewis Morgan. What's worth bearing in mind, the PFA award, remember, you don't need to be Scottish. It just so happens those three are. But you don't have to be. Remember, that's the, you're, just in case you're getting confused.
Oh, we're going all down the Scottish floor. Yeah, got you.
Okay. Anyway. Mm-hmm. That may or may not help you. Craig is a Rangers fan. Next up, how's it going, Craig?
Not bad, guys. How are you?
Yeah, yep, all good in here.
Danny Wilson.
What's wrong? What? No, just
no. Right, okay.
Sorry, Craig.
Not since no.
Oh, sorry, Craig.
Must apologise.
Honestly, so rude. Craig, what made you call tonight?
Yeah, it was just that comment, really, just based on Mark's summing up a who should play up front for Rangers on Sunday. I didn't really get what he was coming at with regards to the other guys starting ahead of Morelos.
Nah, me neither, to be honest, Craig.
If anything, I think Morelos' best games this season have probably came against Celtic, to be honest. And I don't really see how anybody could start ahead of him on Sunday.
Oh, okay, well, that would be a worry for me. If you think Morelos' best games this season have came against Celtic, because...
I suppose both could be true. It could be true, and it could be a worry. Do you know what I mean?
Well... I don't think he's... Look, he scores a goal at Hampden from a set piece, right? Take nothing away. That's what he's here to do, score a goal. But his overall contribution that game, I thought, was shocking. Celtic Park recently.
I think you'll find he was pretty much on top of the Celtic back to Ibrox until Celtic scored.
Well, okay. Well, I agree to disagree in that. Again... I don't think he.
Which game?
Passed out of the park for the whole of the first half.
The two Celtic scored after 5 minutes, Craig.
Yeah, but after that, Celtic were under a bit of pressure for most of the game, I would say.
Well, after that, I thought you said until Celtic scored.
No, after that.
Again, in that game, I'm sorry, I just can't agree with you. Maybe you've seen something totally different. And from me, I don't think he gives Starfelt or Carter Vickers a tough time all day long. I tell you why, because he doesn't run in behind. He hasn't got the strength nowadays. I don't know what's happened to him in that term, because he used to bash centre-halves about in the continent and domestically easy. He's not got the strength to hold any of them off. Not particularly good in the air when it is shelled up to him. And it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. I don't get what part of that makes a good front man against a Celtic side. Now against other teams in the league, look, I would agree, but he scores the majority at times against other teams. Against it, I'm talking about there's one game where you need to stop the supply for the back.
So have you been happy with him this season, Craig? Because I do feel like I see a lot, forget Mark Wilson, I feel like the biggest criticism I see for Alfredo Morelos comes from Rangers fans on this show.
No, I can see what he's getting at, but I don't see how the other two even get a consideration, bearing that they're not going to offer anything different either. So
that would be true, Gordon. But the
argument that I'm making is you've not seen the other two against Starfield and Carter Vickers. You've seen Morelos now three times or four. Is it four games against him? You've seen him four times. Same result.
Games this season to know that they're not good enough to do that.
Well, arguably one of Rangers' best performances was that not Easter Road away in Chowak played up. Yeah. Did Sakala play that game?
Yeah, Sakala.
Anyway.
Still feels like recent weeks tells you, Gordon. Mark can still be right in terms of backing up his own opinion, but you just. Cholak's not. Well, he was injured for a spell as well, of course, which is worth bearing in mind. But Morelos just tends to lead the line at the moment.
Yeah, and I think it'll be the same come the weekend, Gordon. I think that, you know, it's a big question you ask yourself if Starfelt, Carter Vickers.
And by the way, Cholak's actually, remember, he missed the Aberdeen game, the very last game due to injury. So I've no idea if he's going to be back. No, I think he was meant to be.
He would be a good option coming off the bench if Rangers were looking for something. But I think Morelos will be a starter. I take on board what Mark's saying, but I still think he's got the knack to get you a goal. You seen that at Hampden. All of a sudden, Celtic were cruising. And Morelos gets some Rangers back in for that 10-minute spell. You're thinking, oh, Rangers might do something there. But Celtic went on, deservedly won the game. There was that debated goal at Celtic Park that, you know, it's a 50-50 split. A lot of people say, yeah, it should have been a goal. A lot of people say, no, it was a free kick. I just think Morelos, probably looking at this game, is like Kent. He is the best option. I know Mark's saying, and I totally agree, because I watched the night against Hibs at Easter Road, and I thought Cholak and Sakala tore Hibs apart. But it was a completely different game, because Hibs went for a game, they left space. Celtic tend to dominate the ball a lot more than what a Hibs team would do. So, yeah, I would probably go with Morelos at the weekend.
And also since then, I think, you know, it's important probably to remember that since then we've only seen Cholak four times. He hasn't played any of the last two. He's been injured, so it's maybe a completely redundant question. Craig, where do you get your hope from? Do you have hope, first of all, for the weekend?
It's going to be pretty difficult given the form, to be honest. But Rangers need to score first. That's unquestionable, I think. Because I think even in Sunday summed it up, bags of chances, don't take it. Guys close for 40 yards and after that they don't look like threatening. So I think they have to have something to play for after scoring first, I think.
Fairly stating the obvious, Mark, but chance taking from Rangers is going to need to go way through the roof, isn't it? Certainly from last weekend.
Yeah, of course. And you look back to Celtic Park as well, chance taking, how big it would have been in that game. Going to bring up Morelos again, but it's not to prove my point. But remember the chance at second half, Morelos had a huge opportunity. And that small period, Rangers really had Celtic on the ropes and they had a couple of good opportunities, didn't take them at crucial times. So Craig's right in that respect. Huge. Scoring the first goal in this fixture is always huge. But when you get in top, you need to take your chances, and Rangers will have to do that if they have any hope of winning.
Yeah, it's going to be. I think it'll just be a fascinating game. I agree that the first goal in these games are very, very important. But I just think it's so important for both sides that.
I mean, Rangers got their draw though on that day that Maida did score first. Remember, and then it was Rangers that went in front. There are examples of when those things don't count as much.
But you don't tend to go on and win the games. I just think that. We'll definitely get goals going. I really do think we'll get goals. I think we've got teams that will score goals. But I'm I'm really looking forward to this one. I really am. I know that there's another one coming in the 13th or whatever, maybe Ibrox, but I think this is so, so important. The supporters have bought for it because Rangers want to stop, which could potentially be a treble. Celtic want to get there. I think we're just in for a fabulous weekend, and I'm looking forward also, and we've not touched it tonight. I think Falkirk and Inverness will be a good game.
I mean, Craig, are there any other... If you don't think there is a debate, you know, you think Morelos has nailed on it, I do detect tomorrow we'll probably really get stuck into kind of picking your team and all that sort of stuff. But what are the other issues then that really face Michael Beale? What are the potential solutions that he could go for?
I just don't think there is any. That's my honest opinion. I just can't see it being anything apart from the front three that arguably, apart from Kent maybe coming back in. You know, you're probably looking at Kent, Tillman and Morelos maybe up front.
Well, we can't, Will.
I think he's got to play in midfield, I think.
Yeah. Michael Beale has even said publicly about wants to fit Cantwell and Tillman in together. He's done it most of the games.
He likes that partnership.
Because they play that sort of two and then two in front, don't they? Kind of narrow.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, the Rangers side, I've got to say. You just wonder if it's the usual down the lines. Is Ryan Jack back training?
No, he's out.
So you're looking at...
I suppose what this all underlines is you can tell the tone of Craig's voice. Just with the type of season it's been, there's just not that... There's not many, if any, Rangers players that Craig is a big fan is sort of jumping for joy over. You know, and I said it at the top of the show, we actually haven't got round to it yet. I saw Rangers fans themselves almost poking fun a bit at their internal Player of the Year awards. I think the shortlist was James Tavernier, Borna Barisic and Malik Tillman. And lots of Rangers fans, no one else is on there saying, tough to pick a winner there, and or what is he doing on the list, or what's he doing on that list? So yeah,
but
just been that type of season individually, hasn't it?
Where's your argument? Who else would you put in the list?
That's what I mean.
I know the big question mark, and people will be saying Barisic, for instance, because I think he's a whipping boy. A lot of people don't really rate Barisic. I think going forward, he's got a terrific left foot. But if you narrow it all down, what's the other options? Because nobody's really taken, the bull by the horns at Rangers and had a outstanding season. I think Tavernier would be a certain winner of that.
You're a big Borna Barisic critic, though, so I know you'll be very surprised to see him on that list.
Of course I'm. And the Rangers fans that you mentioned there, they're the ones that see him every week and they're surprised. But, I mean, he's on there for merit for going forward, like Daz says. But you have to be so much more than that at a club like Rangers. And defensively, weak in the big occasions, the real big ones where it mattered, he's been posted missing. You look at the games against Celtic. You look at the semi final against Aberdeen. Just errors, strewn with errors in last week as well. And you think, How has he made it on that list? It's indicative of how bad Rangers individually have been. And I don't mean that as they're sitting second in the league, they've got a chance of winning the Scottish Cup, but usually there's a core of players that you hang your hat on and rely on. Even the goalkeeper has been one for Rangers in years gone by. But Alan McGregor's not even getting a shout this season because he doesn't deserve it.
Who's been the standout, Craig, if you had to pick one?
I think, as you guys said, it's pretty tough to pick any, if any, but Tillman should probably be the young player of the year, with Tavernier as the player of the year if you're going on stats. But yeah, I don't think anybody really truly deserves that, to be honest.
I can sense the enthusiasm from Craig, but that, like Mark says, maybe that's indicative of the type of campaign it's been. Thanks to Craig and Shawlins, make some good points. Always happy to hear someone disagree with Mark Wilson, so that has cheered me right up. Craig was in the hat for the night out at Topgolf as well. Right, how are you faring on this teaser? We're looking for, since 20, I'll knock a year, since 2011, we've found an extra one, I think, right? 12. Leo Labada, right, I'll give you him, because he's the reigning one.
I was going to guess, that's the only one I had.
Nah, so you've still got, it's another 11.
Go on, jump in.
So it's by the way, it's players that have been nominated for Young Player of the Year in Scotland, but they've also played for a non-European club. So like Ryan Gold, Johnny Russell, Lewis Morgan, and they don't have to be Scottish.
The only one I can think is Mackay Stephen.
Brilliant. Played for New York City. Yeah. Well done.
No, brilliant at all.
No, somebody's texting are...
No, somebody's not texting him. I told him. And I was just about to say it.
You give no credit whatsoever.
The I've face on him as well.
Anyway.
Okay.
Have you got any more?
No, that I'm getting you.
We're a team.
No, it's difficult, eh?
I think you'll get them.
Most David Clarkson?
No.
No.
Nope. Where are players likely to have played, right? You've given the MLS a good kicking. You've maybe not done there yet, but where else might? Because if they are Scottish.
No, India.
Australia. Jason Cummins.
Jason Cummins.
Ah,
there we go. Okay, we'll get the rest of the answers next. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel have put their significant brain power together over the break to try and come up with the answers to this question. Thanks to Colin for sending it in. Fulltime@clyde1.com, by the way, if you fancy getting involved. He's looking for, since 2011, can you name 11 players that have been nominated for Scotland's Young Player of the Year, and they've also played at some point for a non-European club? Abada's a wee bonus one in there. He's the holder. So it's another 11. You've given me Gold, Russell, Lewis Morgan, GMS, Jason Cummings,
Wanyama.
Ooh, well done, in Montreal. Fact, yeah. Yep.
What about this one? Andy Driver.
No, it's a no.
He bummed himself.
I thought that was a one.
I was delighted.
No, you sure?
Yeah.
I think. I don't know where he played. He's played with a million clubs. Played with him, I think so. Stokes.
Andy Stokes.
Did he play with you?
No, is not the right answer.
Oh, Gary Hooper.
Gary Hooper.
They come as a double act. Hoops played in India, didn't he?
New Zealand and
Australia. Did he? As well.
India, I think. Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, we got there and then.
Yep. So that's eight. Any more for any more just now? No? Okay, great. Thanks. We'll get them before the
Andy
end.
Andy Webster?
No. Don't waste my time with that.
That's a bad one.
Right, let's hear a bit from the other managers involved. We actually heard from John McGlynn last night, didn't we? So let's hear from Billy Dodds, looking ahead to Falkirk's clash with Inverness on Saturday. He's got big ambitions ahead of the game. He knows his team can progress if they play to their own standards.
Of course, we've got to realise how great an opportunity it is. And as I've said, Falkirk will be thinking the exact same. But we go there with high hopes, and we hope to make the final. But it's going to take a calmness, a good performance, a performance where I know what my boys are capable of doing, and if we do that, we've got a hell of a chance. But we've still got to manage the game, and it's a good team that's in front of us, so we respect them, but we know what we have to do.
I guess you're trying to draw on anything you can. Billy Dodds obviously won the Scottish Cup as a Rangers player. They beat you in the semi, no? If I got my years mixed up.
What year was that?
99-2000.
Yeah, he was one of those.
Just checking.
Those ones I didn't like that day.
He scored 7-1.
He scored a hat trick. I've just checked. He scored three.
It was him that scored the Kinchelskis cross one.
Uh-huh. Is that now just coming back to
yeah,
you?
Yeah, come on, the bearings of Falkirk. I've got to say, Inverness will fancy this. I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be a tight game. I think two sides that are in decent form. Inverness have really climbed the championship. What, the third? Falkirk just behind Dunfermline in the first division.
Yeah, a good bit behind.
Yeah, but they're second and doing well under a good manager. I like John. I think he's a terrific manager. I think that'll be a real good game of football. I think we'll be surprised with the quality of that at the weekend.
Easy one for Billy Dodds, that. Look, lads, this is the Scottish Cup semi-final. Yeah. I scored a hat-trick on this stage.
Dodgy was a great player. I played with Billy twice. I always remember, right, I went in work experience to Dundee United, 15-year-old boy, and Billy was the star striker for United at the time. We're doing a cross and finishing drill. He gave me it, right, because I didn't pass to his right foot for 25 yards away. He absolutely berated me for it, and that was the standards he held then, 15-year-old kid. And then I had a few run-ins when I eventually played with him Great his second time round. He was brilliant, brilliant striker. But all the experience, you know, scored plenty of goals in these latter stages. But I disagree with Daz. I think Inverness are firm favourites for this.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I think
I think the way that they finished the season, if you asked me 6 or 7 weeks ago, I would have said we've got more of a contest. But I think Inverness have finished strongly, right in the running, up the top of the championship. I think they'll fancy it.
Does it add anything at all to the pre-match equation that, as Gordon points out, both have got big league business still ongoing? I mean, you look at that, Inverness get an incredible, you know, run ahead potentially in the playoffs. Falkirk as well. That was me double checking that Inverness still couldn't win it, but they can't. No, I've not got that mixed up. Yeah, they can't win at Inverness, but they're sitting in third at the moment, mm-hmm. with one game to go. Like we said, Falkirk, I think they're nailed on for second, aren't they? But then they'll enter the playoffs anyway. So it's interesting that it comes, because it's never a, you know, it's a semi final. We're not talking free hit or, you know, oh, your priority is the league. It's just not going to work that way when you get to this stage of a cup competition. But they do have big fish to fry in their leagues as well.
Yeah, oh, without a shadow of a doubt, Gordon. But obviously that will all be put aside. Saturday will be fantastic for everyone concerned with those clubs. It's not that often you get there, especially a semi-final at Hampden. I know what Mark's saying. I think that the wise money would probably be on Inverness because of the run that they're on. But having watched Falkirk a few times, I see the one thing John McGlynn will do is try and play football. And he's got guys in his team that can play. He's got guys that can score goals. As I say, if I wasn't in this studio, I'd be along there because I think it'd be a really entertaining game.
You can arrange that if you want to go along.
No, I'm be in the studio, unfortunately.
You talk so much nonsense. Oh, I'd be along there. Well,
I'm trying to
get
people to go along, neutrals, and watch the game because it will be an entertaining game, I've got to say.
Yeah, I think what's staring you in the face, Mark, is the opportunity for both. Inverness will be favourites because they're a division above. I think that's fine. But it's just not often you would get to this stage of a competition and not even have to face a Premiership team, never mind one of the... So that probably brings its own pressure,
well,
in a way.
Yeah, a huge opportunity. I said at the start of the show could make history, but when you look back at the two recent, semi-recent history, they've been in about it in this tournament before, so the fans are well versed in it. But for the both groups of players who, when they signed for Inverness at the start of this season or the previous season, and same for Falkirk, could they have envisaged possibly playing in a Scottish Cup final against Celtic and Rangers this year? Probably not. So huge occasion for them.
Right, let's round off this teaser. We're looking for a couple more young player of the year nominees since 2011 who've played for a non-European club at some point. You're doing quite well. You've got, well, Abada we gave you, Gold, Russell, Morgan, Gary Mackay-Steven, Jason Cummings, Wanyama, Hooper. So only, what you got, is it two to get, is it?
I'm going to throw in one. It's got to be wrong, but
three to get.
A wrong answer's quite good sometimes. Lee Griffiths.
Yeah, I mean, he's on the list. Not sure what the level was in Australia, but I suppose technically it counts. So yep, Griffiths, okay.
Good shout. Am I getting that?
Two more, yeah, quick, two more.
Oh, I'm struggling now, mate.
I'm out. No?
Nah, struggling myself.
Give us clues.
Played alongside Virgil van Dijk for Celtic.
Boyata?
Denier. Need to put you out your misery.
Denier.
And here's one, I can't believe you've missed it because we've spoken about him tonight at length.
Kent?
Will he start for Rangers on Sunday?
Morelos.
Played in Colombia.
Is he young player of the year? Not many. Yeah.
Oh, I never got that.
Never done.
There we go. Thanks to Mark and Gordon. And thanks to everyone who listened. Remember, it is Clyde One's Cash for Kids Day. We're teaming up with Top Golf on the show. So get yourself along tonight, right through to Sunday. £1 from every chicken burger is going towards Cash for Kids. I don't know how many you can buy in one night. Try your best. And we did say that everyone who called tonight was going to get the chance to team up with a couple of mates and then come tonight out with us at Top Golf with some food and drinks on us as well. And well done to Kieran from East Kilbride who won that. So well done, Kieran. We'll see you down there at some point soon. We're back tomorrow. We're getting closer. We're getting very close indeed to the big weekend. It's Hugh Keevans. No, it's not. It's Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller tomorrow. And Callum Gallagher is up next.